So if you've been at Bethel for the last several months, that applies to some of you, but not everybody, but just to catch everybody up, over the last several months, I have communicated to you that we're facing headwinds as it relates to the school. I've sent a letter. I've made Sunday morning announcements and have even included updates in our e-newsletter, which if you're not signed up for, you should be signed up for it. And you should read it when it gets sent. That's the other part of that. The school and the church here at Bethel is one organization in all ways. And so I want to just be really clear about this, is that when the school struggles, the church, it impacts the church, most noticeably financially. So that is why, for the past, well, and we meet monthly, but that is why, as of recent, the finance committee and the church council are not quite ready to present a 2019 church budget, because some of it is dependent upon the school budget. And what we want to do, and this is always the aim, is that we want to most accurately bring a plan to the congregation, which we vote on, for a spending plan that reflects what we're going to do in the next year, and not say, well, I kind of hope this happens. So that's why normally about this time we have a financial forum, a kind of a first peek at the budget. We're not ready to do that yet. We will have one. We're just not ready to do that yet. So back to the point is that the lack of students for the fall in the school means there's less revenue for the entire organization. So most of you, some of you know, but most of you know Farah, our business manager, our finance committee, our church council, myself, have been working on these budgets for several months now, and already what we've been working on as it relates to the church is that we've cut back the church budget fairly significantly already because of what's happening with the school budget. Now, when we get to the point that we feel like it's solid enough to present, we're absolutely going to present that. So I just wanted to say a couple of things about this. Our best option to maintain the current ministry that this church does and to maintain the current staffing that this church has is that we need to explore some rental options with our school building, with an organization that would match our values. I mean, that's we want to be clear about that. But we need to explore that if we want to maintain the current ministry and staffing that we currently have. Now, the question then becomes, do we want to do that? Well, in a perfect world, no, we wouldn't want to do that. I mean, that's just kind of an obvious, well, if we didn't have to, we could figure out ways to use the building, right? But I think it is preferable to explore that at least, and we don't know where that'll head, but we want to explore that at least so that we can see the possibilities. So that's one of the things we're going to explore, and that also ties into the budgets as well. So I want to maintain our current ministry and our current budget, and I don't want it to impact us. So that's why we're going to explore this, and every step of the way, as church members, you'll be in the know about that, but so this is the first step in that. So in terms of the school, we have preschool. And if you read the e-news and you've heard my announcements over the past month, we still need 12 students for preschool. That would put us on a firm financial footing with the school. 12 students. Because remember, each student represents a portion of tuition paid. And yes, we are still planning on having a preschool, but it also means we need 12 more students. As you know, we've been advertising this past spring. We've been on TV. We've been on the radio. We've been handing out flyers in the community. We've been at community events. So we've been doing, and even social media. So we've been doing our due diligence there as well. Now, with that said, this is not unique to Bethel Lutheran Church and School. The Bay Area demographic, as you know, has been changing over the last 20 plus years. And the needs of the community has changed as it relates to what I'd call mainline Protestant Christian education, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Methodists, Presbyterians. We're the mainline folks. Then you add into that, as you know, the high cost of living, especially if you're new to the area. And so with that being said, it's not unique to us. It's not an internal issue. We are facing a challenge that many organizations are facing at this point in terms of education, private education. Okay. Now, with that said, how do you process that? For some, that might make you mad. It might make you sad. It might even make you feel a little panicked. I mean, there's ways to process the information I just shared with you. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not any of those. And here's why. There is a God who cares about us. There is a God who promised to walk with us through thick and thin. There is a God who literally went to hell and back to make sure no one is captive to despair. I believe that with my whole heart. Now, we just finished Vacation Bible School under the theme of being shipwrecked. And for 5 days, we explored and emphasized a theme that Jesus rescues. Now, it made me think, as I was going through this with all of our great volunteers and with what Amanda was leading this whole thing. Thank you, Amanda. Everybody, let's thank Amanda. It's awesome. But I was thinking about this theme as I'm dealing with these other issues. So in other words, I'm multitasking, right? Are we telling children that Jesus rescues, but we don't believe it ourselves? That's the question. Sure, it's great to have faith when things are going okay, but when there's a challenge, we get upset, we panic, we blame. We get sad as if there is no hope for us. And all I thought to myself was, how sad would it be if we're filling our children's heads with things that we as adults don't truly believe, especially when our lives get stressful or problematic? But I'm just telling you, I am not one of those people. I literally spent the entire week, yep, no day off this week, between Vacation Bible School here in this room in the morning, because my station was here, and then working on all the other stuff that I just talked about in the back office. So I had one foot firmly planted in Vacation Bible School and one firmly planted in administrative duties this week. I mean, what a contrast, right? And it was a good reminder for me that Jesus is walking with us as a church, and that Jesus is walking with us as individuals as we go about our daily lives. And I would say to you that even though, and I'm going to abbreviate, VBS, Vacation Bible School, is geared towards elementary age. And it is. But I want to tell you, I believe that message. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I have no doubt that Jesus comes to the rescue when we need it, and often it happens a lot that we need that help. So we looked at this theme 5 different ways, with 5 different animals too, and we pretended to be shipwrecked. In other words, we needed to be rescued. And as I thought, as we progressed through the week, it was definitely more like Gilligan's Island than it was the TV show Lost. And because I was forced to do the skits where I played a character that was very much like Gilligan, that I definitely was the Gilligan of our shipwrecked theme this week. And when I don't know, did anybody watch Gilligan's Island, you know, years ago? Some of you did. Okay, so the deal was, when I watched it as a kid, I always wanted to be the professor. He was like using coconuts and bamboo to recharge batteries and make things and do stuff. I'm like, I always wanted to be the professor, and here it is. I'm like Gilligan. I mean, I wanted to be the guy who kind of tried to save the day, but I'm telling you, I am at peace knowing that I'm Gilligan and that I make mistakes, kind of like Gilligan, and I think that's good, and here's why. Seeing and acknowledging that I don't always have my act together or that life doesn't always go my way helps me see that I need somebody on my side who does have their act together, and his name is Jesus. I mean, that is an amen moment right there. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I needed vacation Bible school this week. It was good for me. And that maybe I needed it as much as our kids did, because I need reminders that someone is watching out over me and someone who is watching out over us. So I'm just going to give you a few highlights that I think applies to who we are as adults and who we are as a church. It's because on Monday, we learned that when you are lonely, Jesus rescues. Now, the animal always had a name, the jaguar of that day. Her name was Hope. And we looked at this story in Luke 15. And if you've never read that chapter as one whole, I would encourage you to do it. You probably know a little bit about it because Mark read a little bit of it. And I talk about it a lot because I think it's one of the important teachings of Jesus, because it gives us a picture of what God is like. Jesus tells three rapid-fire stories in Luke 15 about lost things being found. Specifically, three lost things that someone takes the time to search for. The story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son, also known as the prodigal son, but it's the lost son. We discover something wonderful about the nature of God. And here it is. Something of value was lost, and there was an all-out search to find that thing. And Jesus says to us that God is like that with people. He doesn't wait for people to come to him. He goes searching for people. And so in all three stories, the sheep, the coin, and the son, when that item is found, there is a party and a celebration because that thing or that person has value. We have value in God's eyes. I mean, you all know what it's like to lose something. It's frustrating, it's aggravating. For me, I usually lose things when I say, I'm going to put this thing in a special place so I won't forget it. And then I forget where I put it. And then when I go looking for it and find it, do I leave it in that same special place where I lost it? Absolutely not. You move it. You move it to a place where you normally keep it so you won't lose it again. A plan to keep an eye on it. Well, God doesn't go out searching for us and once he finds us says, okay, that's where you're at, and then leaves us there. Not a chance. God says, I want you to stay close to me so I always know where you are at. And of course, we wander off again because that's who we are as people. We get spiritually lost. And guess who comes looking for us again? Jesus. Now, we don't say things like, here are ways to find God here at this church, because it's the opposite. God comes to us. We don't have to go look for God because it is God who comes to us. Jesus comes to us from heaven to earth. I mean, really, Jesus is like a relentless hound dog who has picked up the scent of our trail and is pursuing us until he catches us. I mean, I need to be reminded of that when I'm headed in the wrong direction. But it gets better. On Tuesday, we learned that when you worry, Jesus rescues. I mean, who doesn't worry, right? I mean, I might have said some things to you this morning that have made you a little concerned, maybe a little worried, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus is definitely not a worrier. I mean, not only that, but he knows what will still our beating hearts: his word, his wisdom, his presence. Now, many of you leave church, at least I hope you do, with maybe a humming the last hymn that we sang, or peace in your heart because Jesus was present with us in the room. And Robin, who did our Bible time with our kids, told the story about Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. You see that Jesus had come to visit Mary and Martha, and Martha was working and working and working. She was trying to host a dinner party for Jesus and possibly 12 of his friends. Mary wasn't helping. She was just listening to Jesus. And finally, Martha gets fed up with it. And she says to Jesus at this point, she says, you know, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work? And I would say, all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. You know what Jesus' reply is? This is my paraphrase. Nope. That's my translation. Then he goes on to say, he said, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. What's the point? I'll tell you the point. No one has ever relieved their worry by doing more. It may distract you. It may cause you to not think about it because you're being too busy, but it never goes away. The concern is still there. So Jesus provides the answer for us that we need to hear this morning, that when we worry, we should tune our hearts to the good news of God's love because he's watching over us. That's what Mary was doing. Our relationship is not performance-based. Sometimes we need to quiet our hands and our hearts and our mind to be filled with God's peace. You can't do that if you're running around worrying about what you think needs to get done or trying to over-orchestrate stuff. Good words. Then just briefly, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We heard Wednesday, when you struggle, Jesus rescues. When you do the wrong thing, Jesus rescues. I can't even see it from here. When you're powerless, Jesus rescues. I'm telling you, this isn't kid stuff. This is life stuff. Right here. I mean, we all struggle. We all mess things up. We all, at least the wisest among us, hear this, the wisest among us realize we don't have much power over people or events. The most miserable people are those who think they can control others and events, and they're always upset when things don't turn out the way they want. And in all of this, Jesus promises to be present at all times when we face obstacles. He promises not to leave us in a ditch, even though we're the ones who've driven our car into the ditch. Or with the times we feel powerless, Jesus will bring the power of the Spirit to any and every situation in which we call him to do so. Like I said, it's easy to be faithful when life is good and decisions are easy. But in the challenging times, we need to call on God to guide us, sometimes inch by inch and step by step, not mile by mile. And if we do that, if we engage in that, if we engage in what we learned at Vacation Bible School, here is the promise that will happen for us as individuals and as a church. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm not going to worry because I know that God loves us and that God wants the best for us. Amen.